Arguments over federal timber sales are nothing new in our region. That may be especially true in Western Oregon, where the Bureau of Land Management is under a legal mandate to provide sale timber to help provide funding for counties, while it also has to follow federal environmental guidelines on the Northwest Forest Plan. A comment period is now open on the Ned's Bar Forest Management Project in the Upper Applegate and Little Applegate watersheds. We'll hear first from the BLM, then from a rep from a pair of groups that propose a different way of going about the work in the Ned's Bar Project. Christy Mastrofini is our guest from the BLM. She's the field manager for the Ashland Resource Area, which is part of the Medford District of the BLM. Christy, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Project is a long time coming. Can you give us just a rough sketch of where it is, what it's about?
So the Ned's Bar Forest Management Project is located primarily in the Little Applegate watershed, as you have mentioned, a little bit in the Upper Applegate watershed. We began planning on this project, I would say, back in about spring of 2014. The project is designed to meet our 1995 resource management plan, and it's designed to promote tree survival and growth and forest stand vigor and its resiliency to wildfire, insects, and disease. It's also designed to contribute to the recovery and survival of the northern spotted owl. We're, as you mentioned, producing a sustainable yield of forest products to local communities, and we're also looking at reducing the risk of large-scale, high-intensity wildfire. So that's, you know, multiple objectives that are designed for the project at the landscape scale. Not every acre is designed to meet every objective. We look at it from a landscape approach.
So why this particular chunk of landscape, though? Why offer, why is it called Ned's Bar, for that matter? And is it Ned's Bar or Ned's Bar? It seems to be spelled two ways.
It's Ned's Bar, one word, is the way I have it spelled. And the project area is named after various geographic features. I believe there's a Ned's Creek and a Bar Creek. I'd have to, you know, look up those features for sure to tell you exactly where they are in the landscape. But we generally name our projects after geographic features in the general area.
Okay. So, what is going on here that made this a candidate for some work? I mean, you talked about wanting to enhance forest stand growth. What stands as a potential obstacle to forest stand growth?
Well, there's high densities in the forest stands that we have prescribed for treatments, and the carrying capacity for the ground that these forest stands are growing on are, you know, the amount of moisture and nutrients available to the site are not available to support the high densities that we have, and stands will begin to self-thin, which means we'll start seeing mortality in these stands as especially during drought stress, the stands continue to grow, and those that are less adapted to the site will start dying out within the stand, and that's what we call self-thinning.
This is in the Applegate Adaptive Management Area, is that right?
That's correct. And it's also located on lands to be managed for forest production under our 1995 forest plan, resource management plan for Medford District BLM. So
I want to get to those two designations. I mean, because adaptive management areas are not universal throughout the Northwest. What makes them adaptive management?
Well, the adaptive management areas were identified during the Northwest Forest Plan as areas to look at experimenting with different technology and social approaches to forest management.
Okay, and so you mentioned that this is meant for timber management. So is this considered matrix land, which is the land that was most involved in timber production?
Right. So adaptive management area is also overlays on lands that they anticipate to be managed for forest production. And there's been some disagreement of whether adaptive management area is also matrix, but the intent in adaptive management areas is to produce forest products, just looking at different ways to approaching managing those forest stands to look at the time of the 1995 plan was to look at more aerial forest management, which is helicopters for for use in harvesting, and also just looking at different approaches of working with communities and collaborative approaches to working through how to manage the forest and try to gain a more of an understanding and agreement on what that would look like in the Applegate Adaptive Management Area.
Where does the planning for the Ned's Bar project stand under the National Environmental Policy Act? So you need either an EIS or an EIEA. Where do things stand with that?
Well, the purpose of conducting an environmental assessment is to determine if those impacts are within the impacts identified in the environmental impact statement for our resource management plan or otherwise insignificant. If an environmental assessment determines that the impacts are greater than that, there could be a determination made that an environmental impact statement would be required. So as part of the environmental assessment process, once we have completed public review and a thorough review of the environmental assessment, we will determine if a finding of no significant impact would be issued, and that would come later in the process.
The famous FONSI, finding of no significant impact, one of our favorite acronyms. So how many alternatives have you laid out for what you would like to do or what you think could be done at the Ned's Bar Forest Management Area?
So there were three action alternatives that were analyzed in detail in the environmental assessment. There are alternatives 3 through 5, and alternatives 3 and 4 are BLM's alternatives that were developed in response to the proposed action. Alternative 5 was presented to BLM by the community Ned's Bar Community Alternative Working Group, and that alternative represents what the community would like to see implemented in the way of the Ned's Bar Forest Management Project.
Is that a fairly typical thing to happen, to have somebody else provide an alternative to BLM's planning process?
Yes, that has happened in the past. Alternatives are not always analyzed in detail. We have taken the community alternative and analyzed it in detail for this environmental assessment. We have worked throughout the process with this community alternative working group. We've had field trips together to look at understanding the differences between their proposed alternative and BLM's alternatives. We also had a lot of discussion about different metrics that could be used to compare and contrast the alternatives in the environmental assessment.
Okay, we'll get further into how those compare side by side when we come back and talk more with Christy Mastrofini from the BLM. We're talking about the Ned's Bar Forest Management Project in the Medford District of the BLM. Back on the exchange with Christy for just a few more minutes when we come back to the exchange in a minute. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are in the midst of a discussion about what's going on with the Ned's Bar Forest Management Project, largely in the Little Applegate Valley. It is a Bureau of Land Management project. BLM's Christy Mastrofini, she's the field manager for the Ashland Resource Area, is on the line with us now. We'll turn it over to one of the community reps in just a few moments, but you can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Christy, you mentioned it sounds like alternative 4 in the plan for Ned's Bar is the one that BLM is moving toward. The community alternative is alternative 5, is that right?
Yes, BLM actually has two alternatives, Alternative 3 and Alternative 4, and the community alternative is Alternative 5. And there has not been a decision made on which alternative will be selected for the final project. It is likely to be a blend of the alternatives considered.
Right, so 4 is not necessarily the one that's going to be the one to go to.
Correct. 4, as outlined in the EA analysis, it could be that we select parts of that alternative or not the alternative as a whole. So that decision is yet to be made.
How different would you say the BLM alternatives are from the community alternative?
So some of the differences in the BLM and community alternatives are that the community alternative looks at more of a diameter limit, of a upper limit of 20 inches for timber harvest. So their alternative doesn't consider the harvest of any trees greater than 20 inches. BLM's alternatives do not have a diameter limit. One of BLM's alternatives does not have any new road construction. Alternative 4 is proposing about 4.5 miles of new road construction, about 1.25 miles of temp, and a little bit over 3 miles of permanent roads.
I want to
and
come
again,
back.
And there hasn't been a decision to implement all of that road construction. It's part of an alternative that could be selected.
Okay, I want to come back to the diameter thing. That's a mm-hmm. big difference, it appears, because the folks from the valley are talking about stopping at 20 inches diameter. The argument they've made, I took a look at that, is about you're talking about leaving the big drought or the big fire-resistant trees there. If you take out the trees that are larger, I mean, does that make the place more fire-prone? Do they have a case?
So the large trees are more fire resistant, but back to some of the proposed objectives for this project are to improve the resiliency of forest stands and the vigor and growth of trees, because we are looking at long-term sustainable forest production on this land. And if trees are not released to grow, then they, you know, are going to be more stressed. You're going to get lower growth. On the other hand, we are proposing to leave the larger, healthier trees in the stands. So even on some units where there are larger trees proposed for harvest, for instance, one of the sites we visited the other day, there was a large pine that we were looking to release. And release in that, providing more space and sunlight for that tree to grow, survive, and reproduce more pine species on site. So when you're looking at removing some large trees, there's an objective in place for retaining and growing other trees that are retained on site.
All right, the last question I have to put in here is from Mike in Medford, who just wrote in, and he asks, with species die-offs, mass forest fires, and climate change, how on earth are we still logging in Southern Oregon? We're trying to transition to ecotourism, and the BLM seems to be the real estate agent for the logging industry. Take a drive out of Jackson County. The forests look destroyed from clear-cutting. I'm sick of having to write the BLM seemingly every month for another massive clear-cut. Logging was rated as the worst job in the country. Respectfully, maybe your agenda is obsolete and needs a drastic change. Mike in Medford wrote that.
So again, this project does not propose clear cutting. So no clear cuts are proposed as part of this project. It is, you know, selective forest thinning. And in the looking at climate change and warmer, drier climates, one of the things that we can do as forest managers is to thin and improve the conditions for the trees remaining on site to be able to compete for water, nutrients, and growing space. Some of the die-off we're seeing in the hills and valleys around the Rogue Valley are some of the results of pretty intense drought over the past couple of years. And I'm not a forest entomologist, an expert at that, so I hesitate to get into great detail, but we are seeing some flagging out on the droughtier sites. There are a variety of insects that are responsible for this. We've got primarily it's a wood borer that's affecting some of the lower elevation sites. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people that are interested in finding out more about that is they can contact the OSU Extension Service, and they've got a lot of good information on the different insects that are affecting some of our forests, especially at the lower elevations following these drought years.
Okay. I appreciate the information you provided here today. Christy Mastrofini is field manager for the Ashland Resource Area within the Medford District of the Bureau of Land Management. Thanks so much for joining us today in the exchange.
Thank you.
Right,
you have
care.
A good day.
You too.